Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's March 2018, and you're listening to episode 65 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Joe Dallas, who is the program director of Genesis Counseling and Testing California, a Christian counseling service for men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual and relational problems. He's the author of several books on human sexuality, including Speaking of Homosexuality. Joe has written a film review about the teen romantic comedy Love, Simon, which is in theaters right now, and his review is called When Hearts Are Young and Gay, and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. Joe, it's good to have you on.
So good being with you, Melanie. Thank you for having me.
Well, this film, Love, Simon, has an audience rating of A+, and on the Rotten Tomatoes website that has aggregated over 100 film reviews about Love, Simon, it has a score of 92 out of 100, and so it's been very well received. So what is this film, Love, Simon, actually about?
This is a romantic comedy, Melanie, about a gay teenager who has not yet made himself known as gay, who is starting an online relationship with someone from his school who is unidentified. And so he is beginning to develop romantic feelings for the person he's conversing with online, and he is wondering whether or not he should try to get that person to make himself known. It is a relatively simple plot. Actually, I've seen this plot in other much older films, such as You've Got Mail and The Shop Around the Corner. But of course, what is very modern about this is that it is about a teenager who is comfortable with his homosexuality, but wrestling with the question of whether or not to make it public. I can understand why it is getting high ratings, because in fairness, it is a very, very well-made film. The acting is extremely good. The dialogue is very witty. It avoids any kind of blatant erotic moments. It's rated PG-13, I believe. And so as far as the quality of the film goes, I really have nothing bad to say about it. It is the message of the film that I would take real issue with.
You know, I saw this film just this past weekend. I was actually surprised. I'm in a different part of the country than you are. You're in California and I'm in North Carolina. And I was surprised at an afternoon matinee showing how diverse the audience was. In fact, there were several senior citizens that I saw in there that kind of surprised me. And I would have to say, I agree with you about the film. It reminded me kind of back of those kind of John Hughes 1980s teen comedies, romantic comedies like 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink. The only difference is that the protagonist is identifying as gay, whereas it was heterosexual couples in those films. So what is your biggest objection to this film?
My biggest objection is to the film's presumptions and to its conclusions. The film presumes, in the way the gay character is presented, the way his parents are presented, the way his friends are presented, the film presumes that homosexuality is natural, that it is probably inborn, that there should be no question on this boy's part as to whether or not he should embrace a gay identity. The only question involved is when and how. And in fact, the general assumption is that all enlightened people in the film know that homosexuality is normal. There is nothing wrong with it. The only ones who object are portrayed as very ignorant and oafish. So the presumptions I disagreed with, and I objected to the conclusion of the film, which is that essentially it is a good thing when two teenaged boys meet and fall in love and develop a relationship, and that should be celebrated. In fact, Melanie, I've got to say, I founded the theater that my wife and I went to when we saw this, exactly what you did. The demographics were very diverse. There were many older people there, many teens, many middle-aged people. And the audience response seemed to echo what the film was saying. It's good for gay teenagers to come out of the closet, find someone, engage in a romance. That should be celebrated. And if you don't celebrate it, there's something inherently wrong with you.
Well, in your review, you were comparing, you mentioned the audience that you were with when you saw this film, and you were comparing audience reactions with this film to a pro-gay film that you saw in the 80s. Could you elaborate on how those audience reactions differed, you know, from the 80s to now?
Oh, I couldn't help but make that contrast. I'm 63 years old, Melanie. Back in 1982, I was, about 27, 28. And I went with a friend to see a film called Making Love. Now, a little background on this. I was openly gay at the time. I was a part of the gay community. I embraced homosexuality, and I was very active in promoting the idea that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible. I was on staff with a pro-gay church, so I was very openly celebrating homosexuality at that time. Now, I went with a gay friend to a theater that was showing a film called Making Love. Most of our listeners probably won't even know what that movie is, but at the time, it was a very controversial film about a young doctor who discovers that he is homosexual and meets up with another man. The doctor is married. He falls in love with the other man, and it includes very passionate romantic scenes between the two men. At the moment when the two actors in this film kissed back in 1982, it was pandemonium. Melanie, I've never heard an audience reaction like that. People were literally screaming, groaning, shouting obscenities. It was a nearly violent reaction at the sight of two men kissing. That was back in 1982. In fact, my friend and I nudged each other and said, should we duck and run? If they think we're gay, they're going to jump us. Now, this past week, I go with my wife to see a film in which two teenage boys are kissing. And when they kissed, there was another huge audience reaction. Applause, cheers, people shouting out approving comments. It was almost as though the members of this audience were competing with each other to prove how condoning they were of a homosexual kiss. Now, I don't want to go back to a time, Melanie, when homosexual people feel endangered. I don't want to go back to a time where it is common and acceptable to call them names, to mistreat them, to talk about them as though they are subhuman. So I'm glad that in our culture, bullying a gay man or a lesbian woman is seen as a horrendous thing to do. I'm glad for that. But I'm also very troubled at the aggressive expressions of approval, because it seemed to me that the audience surrounding me was saying, we are enlightened, we condone this, and we want to make sure everybody knows we condone it, And if there is anybody who doesn't condone it, that person must be a bigot. It was a real statement of how far the culture has shifted to an aggressively pro-gay position.
Well, obviously this film, and I definitely felt this film contradicted a biblical view of love and relationships, but how did it specifically do that?
It did so in two general ways. Melanie, one, it in essence normalized the fact that this boy was attracted to men. It showed him in a very positive light. Well, on the one hand, I'm okay with that because I've known many gay men and women who were very likable, responsible, intelligent people. And so I would not want them to be demonized or portrayed as freaks. But it almost seems like the film was trying too hard to show that this boy's life was completely normal. His parents were wonderful. His schoolmates were wonderful. His life was wonderful. Therefore, if he happened to be gay, it must just be a natural part of who he really is. And the film definitely promoted the idea that meaningful romantic love can be found in a homosexual relationship, and it promoted that idea without questioning whether or not there is a higher purpose in sex than the romantic or personal pleasure of the people involved. This is where the dividing line between Christians and non-Christians is getting clearer and clearer. Christians submit their sexual desires to God's authority because we recognize we are created by God to express God's intentions, not necessarily our own. Whereas the secular, common, modern viewpoint of sexuality is that it is primarily meant to fulfill you. Therefore, what is most fulfilling to you must be good. And that, to me, may be the most troubling part of the film's message. It promotes a radical autonomy apart from the creator.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Joe Dallas. Joe has written a film review about the teen romantic comedy Love, Simon in theaters now, and his review is called When Hearts Are Young and Gay, and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles like this film review, please subscribe to the journal. A six-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe online, go to equip.org. We were just talking about this film and how it contradicts biblical views of sexuality, love, and relationships, and I think not only did it do so in terms of how it was glorifying and normalizing same-sex relationships, but also it was kind of having the same attitude towards heterosexual relationships, especially among all the different teenagers or people hooking up at parties, teen parties. It's just kind of normal. That's what everyone does. The difference is, you know, some people like girls and boys, and some people are same-sex attracted. So I don't think it was, I think in general, it was promoting a non-Christian view of sexuality.
I think it was not only promoting that, it was promoting that with the idea that sex outside of covenant between man and woman can be deeply and permanently fulfilling. And what struck me in watching this, I agree with you, Melanie, a lot of the kids were hooking up, whether it was with someone of the same sex or the opposite sex. And what struck me was the safety factor. This all may have been very exciting and fun to the kids in the moment, but I kept asking myself, what happens when one of them develops very deep feelings for the other and there is no permanent commitment involved, thereby no guarantee that the person who is loving the other is not going to be abandoned and left feeling very broken in ways that God never intended. So my moral objections to this film went way beyond just the homosexual issue.
So do you think that this film is propaganda, and why or why not?
You know, my wife and I spent about a half hour talking about that after the movie. My argument was that it was perhaps the most powerful form of propaganda because it wasn't propaganda. In other words, I didn't feel the film was trying too hard to preach to me. You know how a lot of films include long dialogue speeches full of platitudes and sayings and so forth. This film just seemed to assume that everybody knows gay is okay. Everybody knows that a young gay teen should meet another young gay teen and they should fall in love and that makes a happy ending. And that made it indirectly a very powerful form of propaganda because it seemed to me that the film was saying by the time the credits rolled, hey people, this issue is settled. There is no longer a debate over whether or not homosexuality is normal. Therefore, we won't argue about that anymore. Let's just sit back and enjoy a love story between two young boys.
I felt like this was really powerful propaganda in this. It's last year, you know, whenever it's Oscar time, I see a lot of films. And so I have seen some LGBT themed films. I saw the lesbian romance Carol, and from how everyone thought it was so rapturous, I went to see it, and it didn't move me the way the reviewers said it would. And then I saw the Danish Girl about the first sex change operation, and I was expecting, but I felt it was too preachy. It was trying too hard. And what I thought was very effective about this film in that kind of way of propaganda is it, because it seemed so normalized and it was a teen comedy, you were kind of trying not to root for this kid. I mean, you were rooting for the kid, you know, in the audience. You're like, I hope his pen pal makes himself known so they can have this glorious teen romance, your first crush, your first love. And so I felt it was very much more effective than some of these, you know, adult art house films that I feel like were trying too hard. I was expecting to be really swayed by those other films and I wasn't. And this one could really emotionally make you feel swayed because here's this teenager who, you know, has this, like you said, great family and he's just struggling with this and why hasn't he come out and how should he do it? And so it was much more emotionally tugging, I think, than some other films. And so what impact do you think that this film, because it's a teen romantic comedy, will have on younger audience, especially, you know, the ages between 13 and 25, let's say?
I think it will have impact in at least three different ways, Melanie. First, it will definitely confirm what a high number of teens already believe. That there's nothing wrong with a gay relationship. Homosexuality is a normal variation of human sexuality, and we should celebrate it when two people of the same sex find each other and fall in love. I think it will have that impact in confirming what they largely already seem to believe. I think it will have the impact of also confirming whatever prejudices they may have towards people who would disagree with the film's conclusions. Because as you mentioned, this film presented such a likable leading character. What's not to love about this kid? He's intelligent. He's a nice looking kid. He's very polite. He's very likable in every way. And so this is someone who you want to be happy. And in the minds of many teenagers today, if you disapprove of or disagree with a person's decision to embrace homosexuality, you are becoming an adversary to that kid. And of course, the kid being so likable, when you are aligned with someone, their adversary becomes your adversary. So I think it will have that impact. And I think finally, it will encourage other kids to embrace homosexuality because here they've got quite a role model, don't they? I mean, this is the kind of kid that a lot of kids would want to be like. And so they will look at that and think, if I have any leanings in that direction, he embraced it. Why shouldn't I embrace it? So those are three general ways, I think this film is definitely going to impact the teen audiences.
And I think also there's a story, part of the storyline that shows, you know, when did you know that you were gay, kind of a thing. And he goes all the way back to when he's kind of like, looked like he was younger than middle school, really, like maybe a kid of 9 or 10 or something. And he knew even then. And so it kind of gives this story, like you said, it's normalized. Sure, when you're a little kid, you can realize you're gay. And that's what you've always realized. It's just that you haven't told anyone. You know, we were talking about the variety of the audiences in the theaters that we were in. And I saw, like, I was actually surprised to see a bunch of senior citizens there. What kind of impact do you think Love, Simon, the film, will have on older audiences?
Older audiences, of course, Melanie came of age when the culture did not condone homosexuality. So the film is going to challenge them to reconsider the teachings they grew up with. Now, the fact that they're even viewing the film shows there's a good chance they've already rejected those teachings. So the film will either confirm their rejection of those teachings or encourage them to reject those teachings. And this is an important and or, it will intimidate older audience members. Because when you're sitting in a theater full of people who are applauding when two boys kiss, if you're uncomfortable with that, you're probably going to feel like there's something wrong with you for being uncomfortable with it. And at the very least, you better not say anything by way of objection, because everybody is cheering for these gay boys. If you are criticizing what they're doing, you're going to be seen not just as the odd man out, but as the bigot. So I think it will have that kind of impact on older audiences.
Now, I know just based on what you just said a little bit earlier in the podcast, but I also know that you had in the past, when you were a teenager, wrestled with homosexuality yourself. So thinking back to your teen days, what kind of feelings as you're watching this film did that evoke in you?
It evoked in me a deep sadness at two levels. It evoked a sadness in me that there was one thing this boy and I had in common. We both felt very alone in our experience, and we both wished that there had been somebody to talk to about it. On that point, I absolutely related to him. I know exactly what it was like. Nobody knew that I was attracted to the same sex. I had girlfriends. I, at the risk of sounding like a jerk, I will say I hung out with the most popular guys in my high school. So no one would have ever suspected that of me. But I was very alone and very frightened in realizing that I was attracted to the same sex. And I wish for me as a 16-year-old boy, and I would wish for the character in this film, a person who would come along and say, you know, you are valuable, you are loved by God, there is a better way you can pursue, and I want to be there as you pursue it. And of course, neither in my life nor in this film would you find such a person. It also evoked in me a real sadness for teenagers today, because what is being presented to them is a one-sided option. If you're gay, you will always be gay. You need to come out and embrace being gay. You need to pursue a gay relationship. You need to accept this as a permanent part of your life and experience. And I am sad that that is the message being sent to young kids who are wrestling with their own sexuality. I do not think that being gay is the worst thing that can happen to a person. I don't think if those kids grow up to embrace homosexuality, they will live like freaks. They will have horrendous, dark lifestyles. That's not necessarily true. But the tragedy is they will be taught to settle for something when God has so much more for them. When I repented of homosexuality, back in early 1984, 34 years ago. Why? I did it primarily out of obedience to God. I knew that I was wrong and I must turn from it. That's all I knew. What I didn't know at the time was that God had for me an abundant life that I had never considered before. He had a wife he was preparing for me who would become the mother of two sons who I've had the honor of raising. And there is a richness that I have found in a male-female relationship that I never was able to find in a male-to-male relationship. And I don't think that was because of my sexual desires per se. I think it was because of the fact that two men together, in my opinion, cannot experience what a man and a woman can experience together. I think the complementary union is vastly superior to the same-sex union. So for all of those reasons, I felt a real sadness looking at the film, realizing this is the message that kids are getting today, and the message that God would send to them is being muted, even forbidden.
So just given that and just reminiscing about what was like for you when you were 16, do you think this film, Love, Simon, is an accurate portrayal of what it's like for kids that are gay and teenagers? Or do you think it was a simplistic representation? And then what about the whole social media element? Do you feel like kids are turning to that? Because it's kind of like he found a little bit of sanctuary. That was everything to him. He found this pen pal of another kid at school struggling with their sexual identity. And when they connected anonymously on emails, that's where he found just understanding with another teen going through the same thing that he was going through.
I think that the film probably was a pretty accurate portrayal of what a lot of gay teenagers' lives are like, in that it portrayed just what you said, the finding of a sanctuary online, a safe place where he could openly express himself. I did find it a little sanitized. Maybe I'm more cynical than I should be, but in my experience, more often than not, if a kid is looking for pro-gay resources online, the chances are very high he's also going to be looking at pornography. And that was absent in this film. I felt that it offered what I would call thereby a sanitized version of what that private world is like when you get onto the internet looking for pro-gay resources. I thought it was accurate in that he had very close friendships with girls who he confided in. He had to deal with some girls being very attracted to him, even falling in love with him, when all he wanted with them was friendship and all the misunderstandings and complications that can bring. I thought that was accurate. I really did feel that even in 2018, it was a bit naive to think that the whole high school would cheer him on the way his high school did. But then again, I am 63 years old. I'm not sure exactly what the temperature is like in all American high schools, so I could be wrong about that. So I think that essentially this offered a fairly accurate portrayal with some sanitizing and a bit of naivety. But I think that was the idea. I think that this film wanted to present a very airbrushed, positive view of teenage homosexuality. And in that sense, I gotta say it succeeded.
I was reading an article in one of the Hollywood trade, media websites, and one of the producers was interviewed, and they were saying that their target audience was actually not kids who identified as gay or the LGBTQ audience and community. Rather, their target audience was just, non-gay identifying people, and especially teenagers between the ages, or young people between the ages of 13 and 25 is what they said. So how should Christians respond to teens who see this film? Maybe not necessarily those identifying with that community, but How should Christians respond to that? And especially if they love the film, or especially if teens are saying, hey, all my friends are from school are going to go see this film, mom and dad. Is it okay if I go see it?
I think if you do allow your kid to see it, and there could be valid reasons not to, it is not a sexually graphic film at all, to my thinking. But I found when my sons were young, I wanted to monitor not just the specific graphic element in the films they saw, but also the philosophy of the films. And for that reason, I personally would not have let my young teenager go see this film if I had a young teenager at this time. But I would say this, if a teenager does see it and is saying, hey, I loved the film, my friends loved the film, what's not to like about it? I would try to engage them sort of the way Paul engaged the Athenians at Mars Hill and said, okay, I can see some common ground here. You believe there are many gods, and you believe there is something above the natural. I do not believe there are many gods, but I do believe there's something above the natural, so let's start there. And on this, I would say, okay, you saw a film about a likable gay kid. Well, I think a lot of gay kids are likable. I think that a lot of homosexual people are very likable. Now the question becomes, if somebody is likable, does that legitimize everything they're doing? Do you believe that homosexuality is right just because a likable person is homosexual? And is that really a good way to determine what's right or wrong? Those are the kinds of questions I think we can ask to get a good dialogue going with a teenager who has seen this film.
Well, that's a lot of thought-provoking discussion. So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Joe. Joe, Chinese food or sushi?
Chinese. I'm leery of something that almost looks like it's still moving when I eat it.
Are you highly scheduled, or are you more of a go-with-the-flow and spontaneous person?
Highly scheduled. I am much too stuffy to go with the flow.
Do you know how to change a tire?
Yes.
And what did you last Google?
Oh boy, what did I last Google? I think the last thing I Googled had to do with something President Trump had said that was causing yet another controversy, and I can't remember what it was, but it was President Trump's remarks on something.
Okay.
Sorry, that's as good as it gets.
Thanks, Joe, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Today's guest is Joe Dallas. Joe has written a film review about the teen romantic comedy Love, Simon, and his review is called When Hearts Are Young and Gay, which is available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles like this film review, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others discover our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also regularly streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, so please check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thank you for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.